and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Tonight on the show, we'll be taking a closer look at the effectiveness of the incentives under the Prihatin Economic Stimulus Package. Joining us on the show tonight, we have Associate Professor Muhammad Yusof Sa'ari, Chief Economist at the Future Labour Market Research Centre under SOCSO. Good evening, Yusof. Let's take a look at the wage subsidy programme. Let's begin the show there. The wage subsidy programme first announced in March, subsidising wages for 3 months, and then it was extended for another 3 months under the Penjana package. Now, and once again, I believe in September, extended another 3 months. I want to know, now that we've had some time to look back and see the effectiveness of the wage subsidy programme, what have we learned so far about its effectiveness?
Thank you, Melissa. Short word, yeah. In the summary, this wage subsidy program significantly significantly retain employment in the market. Yeah. Statistically, up to 20th November, in total, there were about 3.4 million of employees or workers benefit from the program. This involved about more than 400,000 of employers. Just imagine, yeah, without this program, wage subsidy program, I mean, you just imagine just half of 3.4 million of workers without jobs, then they get unemployed. So suddenly, I mean, that simply the unemployment rate will raise up to maybe more than 7%. Now we are experiencing around 4.6%, which is manageable rate of unemployment rate for this situation. I mean, that COVID-19, and yeah. So it's helped a lot.
Right. So Yusof, I understand, you know, you just suggested that they've been effective and you give us some numbers. But many of the concerns that both politicians and I think economists have had is the informal sector, that, you know, where people don't have bosses and they're not in formal employment. Where, in terms of who these 3.4 million people are who've had their jobs, as it was saved by these by this project, sorry, by the wage subsidy program, who's left out? I mean, you could just have a sense of who's left out.
Actually, informal workers, it's not really, to my point of view, that informal worker is actually, this is the situation or the workers that we know that they are running the economy or they are working without any social assistance, without social protection, even pre-COVID, before COVID-19 hit the economy. So when COVID, luckily, I mean, that thanks God, COVID-19 hit Malaysian economy and hit the world, that this issue raised again, then again, that requires specific attention from the policymakers. Yes, wage subsidy program only affected about 7 million workers, about million workers of private sectors, I mean, which dominate or constitute 30% or one-third of the private sectors. Another about 3 million, yeah, I think about roughly 3 million of so-called that own account workers, including the gig workers, also informal workers. These are workers without social protections. Yeah, they don't have employment insurance system. They don't have EPF. Some of them. So this is the issue that the I think that previous. I think few weeks ago. I think or few days ago. There was attention from the government to look at this or to see how the government can assist this group of people of about 3 million of workers, which consists of about roughly 19% of the workers in Malaysia. So moving forward, I do believe that government have, at least I know from Perkeso perspective or SOCSO perspective, that we are looking a strategy how we can bring aboard, yeah, these workers to ensure that they have been protected at least by SOCSO or by insurance employment system.
I ask you, you know, we've had a few months now of the wage subsidy program. To what extent does SOXO know of the public's understanding and awareness of the, I guess, the extensions of the program, of the application process of the program? There are kind of strict conditions in terms of proving your profit, your, you know, decline in terms of your profit year on year and the like. Has that been, has that process been made easy for businesses and employees?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. Yeah, one of the reasons the wage subsidy program 2.0, the take up rate quite low, considerably lower compared to the previous one. One of the reason is we found that the procedures or the documentation might contribute to the lower rate of the for the subsidy with subsidy program. I think the government have improved that aspect, but I think to be equal, another reason that we should take into consideration, and then our actually last month, I think, or last 2 months, I cannot remember exactly the dates, we have conducted a snap survey to ask people or to ask employers what happened. Do they can survive when wage subsidy program to ending by this year or end of this year? Majority of the respondents say that they can survive, and then they have improved the situation, they have improved the businesses, and they even they can run the business without extension of wage subsidy program. In addition to that, there are small numbers of employers who are still need specific extension or specific extension from the wage subsidy program. And then actually another reason that I would like to share with you guys here, uncertainties also explain why the low taking rate. Because employers outside there, they are still waiting for what's happened for the next 6 months for the economy. So we are dealing about uncertainties. So for that reason, they don't want to commit at this moment. So until they see or they observe the conditions has been improved compared to the past 6 months.
Okay, and is this information being fed back to the government in terms of you know, informing their decision as to whether to extend the wage subsidy program or not? If you compare to, say, Singapore, which, you know, announced at the offset that they were going to do 9 months, and then whereas Malaysia did 3 months extension, you know, phases, are you feeding back this information to the government so that they understand what is needed on the ground?
I mean that if we compare with the case of Singapore, our economy compared to Singapore is different. So they are just a small economy, an island economy, and then they are better than us. So they have, I mean that strictly they are more, they have money, they have more money than us. So that's why, that's the reason why we start with 3 months, and then we extend another 3 months and the 3 months basis. I think the most important here is not the from my perspective, if we want to ensure the sustainability of the business, we want to the recovery take place in sustainable ways, I think the most important aspect that is we must to ensure that the economy is opening. So we must to keep reopening or opening the economy, although we are dealing with the health risk of this pandemic. So we cannot close the economy as what we did during the MCO. So we have seen, we closed the economy, almost closed all the sectors for almost 2 months. Then the burdens, and then the negative effect from the closing the economic sectors is huge.
Yusuf, can we ask, you know, if you could break it down in terms of sectors, and I'm thinking primarily of sectors affected by the closing of borders, right? So the tourism and tourism-related sectors, F&B, hotels, aviation, Has the program been particularly effective in that sector or other sectors, and there's a difference?
I think the government pay seriously to this issue. Yeah. In fact, under SOCSO or under Ministry of Human Resource, we are looking for a specific assistance to the airline industries and also other industry too. I think the most important here is that if we learn from OECD countries, for example, how they designed. The strategies or to reduce the burden or reduce the unemployment of the airline and the tourism industry is that they try to maximize, yeah, try to find what are the potential skill that these workers have. So if they are good, let's say that in terms of cooking or not a good example. If they are good, because this morning we have discussed this issue with my colleague. So unfortunately, I could not share with you because I suddenly forgot the points. But what I try to emphasize here is that if we have to attract, we have to find the potential talent of the employers. Let's say airline industry, and then how to mobilize them to the new industry or to the new sector, and to placement them to the right skill that they have.
All right. Well, Yusuf, yeah. Thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. We really appreciate your time and you sharing your insights about the labour market. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but we'll be back with more. So stay tuned.